We present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Hello, and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a Channel 5 TV listing read by Kathy Clugston.
8 p.m. Eurovision Greatest Moments. A roundup of the cheesiest, best Eurovision hits. Contains scenes of horror.
Our thanks to David Presswell for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Lucy Porter and stand-up comedian Neil Delamere. And opposite them, on my left, Vicky Pepperdine and Hugo Rifkind. Lucy, who thinks the national health needs some national wealth?
We are talking about the NHS. There was a study by the Institute for Fiscal Studies and the Health Foundation, which said that in order to fund the NHS, taxes will need to rise between £1,200 and £2,000 per household. I read this story in the Daily Telegraph, and then I read the comments. underneath it, which was a very bad idea. So, yeah, and there was a lot of talk about, oh, it's because people these days are pathetic, you know, they go to the doctors for anything, you know. In my day, if you're a real man, if you, you know, you'd just amputate your own foot with a shovel and then hop over to the foreman and ask for another shovel to get on with the job. And, you know, women used to give birth and then go back into the fields and then get the child to gather in the harvest so it didn't grow up lazy. And, I mean, the main problem is, of course, that the average age of the population is 40.1. Apparently, that's how old we all are now. And 40.1, of course, is the age at which your knees give out and you stop being able to get up without making a noise. And the average age of the population is steadily rising, unlike people who are 40.1 and above. So, you know, that's basically the problem. And there's nowhere else to get the money. Basically, the British Army is now two blokes in a Renault Clio driving around Syria. Driving around giving dirty looks to ISIS. So that's it. You know, it's got to be that. Unless we have other ideas. And I have, of course, been thinking about this. What we could do, so either we have to bring down life expectancy, right? So, I mean, it's the night. Maybe free bungee jumping for the over 80s. That's a thought. The other thing, now I think this is an idea. Crowdfunding. Because I know, I mean, essentially we crowdfund it anyway, but I thought let's crowdfund in a modern way. So, you know, like when you do crowdfunding online, you offer perks. So I thought, say if you contribute an extra £100 a month, then on your birthday you get an ambulance to take you wherever you want with the knee-naws on. Yeah? £500 a month, you get to sit in on an operation of your choice and choose the playlist. And then for £5,000 a month, you get to give Jeremy Hunt a colonoscopy just for fun.
It's such a great service. As somebody from outside the UK, I'm always surprised when people don't use it. Jerry Adams once got an operation on his prostate, and he could have gotten it on the NHS, but he didn't. He went to America, and everybody went, oh my God, who paid for that? That's not the issue, though, is it? Somebody had to anaesthetise Jerry Adams, the head of Sinn Féin, which means you have to get the patient to count backwards. Now, how terrifying would it be to be in a room with Jerry Adams looking at you going, 5, 4... 3, 2. I think one of the main reasons is because of the ageing population, isn't it? So after Brexit, forget about America. Your first trade deal needs to be with Switzerland, I would have said. Some sort of bilateral Toblerone for granny swap, I would have suggested.
Vicky, how do you feel?
Well, I call me old-fashioned, but I understood that the whole point of taxes was to pay for services like the NHS and education and so forth. And so I don't have a problem with taxes paying for those services. What I have a problem with is people not paying their taxes to not pay for those services, so that people who are much worse off are paying a greater percentage of their income to fund something that is their right. That's my view. It's not very funny, but... Who cares? Not my problem.
Hugo.
I think this is really easy. There is something we can stop funding in order to solve this problem, and that's doctors. If we stop paying for doctors and people have to perform their own operations, then we will save a lot of money on doctors. Mm-hmm. And also, people are going to die, like, really a lot. And compared to, like, old people and sick people. Dead people are really cheap. Dead people, once you've got over that initial hump, death, they cost almost nothing.
Thought of running for Prime Minister, Hugo?
I have.
Okay. Part of me kind of wants to... Like, if the NHS continues to be underfunded, I do want to see Danny Boyle's opening ceremony at the next London Olympics. Like, it's just two fellas waiting for an ambulance for 4 or 5 hours. The good thing about people in the NHS is that particularly if you've got, like, people in A&E or nurses, they genuinely have usually a good, dark kind of gallows sense of humour. I had a guy at a gig once who was a paramedic, and because I'm a child, I'm very puerile. I said, have you ever removed anything from anybody's bum, right? And he went, ha, 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 not at work.
Getting things out of people's bums. I mean, I could probably do that. I've had two children.
That's just not where children come from. I've heard.
Well, we could always choose one thing that we specialise in, I suppose, and that would be your choice, you think?
I'll do brain surgery. It's not rocket science.
I reckon I could use a pair of defibrillators. I don't know what they do to you, but people seem to sort of wobble about.
No, you've got the lovely gentle hands, Miles. You'd be. Have I? You know, those hands would be wasted.
I don't know if they conduct electricity in the same way a defibrillator does. Well, he appears to be just tweaking her nipples. Charging 360, clear. Miles, step away from the woman. She's just having a lie down.
There might be a case for disincentives, though. I do think that you could publicly shame people who go to the doctors for minor ailments. And, like, the time I went for... I had a new sinister mole, which turned out to be Nutella.
The weird thing is, it actually affects people in the Republic of Ireland. You might not know this, but if you're in, say, Donegal, which is in the northwest of the Republic of Ireland, and anything happens to you, like a heart attack, you go across the border into Derry. So... basically, if there's a hard border, I would imagine everybody in Donegal, nobody over 50 is going to risk having sex ever again. They can't risk the elevated heart rate. That's basically what it is. Ravage me, Brendan. I'm taking my life in my hands. I'm not going near you, basically. Okay, or we'll do it slowly and you have to wear a Fitbit. I'll get the whipped cream, you'll get the Benecol and you'll like it.
I've used the NHS unnecessarily. I remember finding my wife kept saying, "Why are you wincing so much?" And I said, "I find the children when they're loud, I really can't handle it. I think I've got a problem with my ears. I can't hear quiet noises, and noises that are a bit louder are just too loud to me. There's something wrong." And I went and I saw the GP, and then I got referred and I went to see an audiologist, and I went into this sort of soundproof room and put these headphones on, and they played beeps to check like which of your different aspects of your hearing range is working. And I came out, I suppose, genuinely looking for her to say, "Yeah, you've got a problem," and she went, "Yeah, so I've run the tests at you, and I know why you've come in here." And I think, I'll tell you what it is, you are irritable. No help. This is the crisis in NHS funding, with a new report saying that £2,000 a year is needed from every UK household in order to keep the service afloat. Part of the problem is simply the rising cost of healthcare. In the early days of the NHS, anyone suffering from something that needed more sophisticated treatment than a cold compress would be given a spade in a burial plot and told to take care of themselves. Anita Charlesworth, Director of Research at the Health Foundation, said that the biggest driver of rising health costs is the ageing population. So maybe the answer is to put much more money into extreme sports for the over 65s. Which looks better in an obituary? Waited weeks for a hospital bed to become available or skydived onto a steeple? Of course, the government have so many spending priorities to juggle, not least the need to fully rearm before we become engaged in the first stage in our inevitable war with mainland Europe, the devastating Battle of Guernsey. Never will so much have been owed by so many to people who pay so little tax. Two points to Lucy. Hugo, whose outstanding inspections are still outstanding?
Oh, OK. So this is Ofsted, the schools inspector, has itself been inspected by the National Audit Office and has been found not to be outstanding and been, in fact, found to be a bit rubbish because lots of the schools that Ofsted has said are outstanding, it turns out Ofsted hasn't inspected for ages, perhaps like a decade. So basically, it's very hard to know which schools are outstanding these days, which is a particular worry for middle-class people, because if they don't know which schools are outstanding, then they don't know which catchment area to rent houses in for 6 months at exactly the right time, thereby excluding the local populations, which might sound like an unfair thing for middle-class people to do, but it's actually not such a problem for less middle-class people if their kids don't get to go to outstanding schools, because their kids themselves are less likely to be outstanding. Because middle-class parents know that their kids are outstanding, whereas, of course, less middle-class, less sharp-elbowed parents know that their kids are merely good, or adequate, or perhaps even inadequate. And this has become much harder for good, decent middle-class people to navigate lately. And frankly, you know, if we do not know, if this system is not properly quantified, then I just don't see how we're expected to cheat it. And that's a problem. That's a problem. That's a real problem for Radio 4 listeners, Miles. It really is.
Lucy, have you come into contact with the Ofsted system?
Well, not really. Our kids' school is outstanding. But I mean, it's still everywhere in the school. They go, oh, outstanding. It's on all the things.
They're like sort of theatre reviews, aren't they? They get an Ofsted review and suddenly all past the school's actually plastered with...
It's like my, you know, the quotes on my poster, some of those are about 10 years old. Even older. They're like, brilliant topical comedy about the millennium bug. Actually, most of my publicity photos are from some years ago. I'm a big believer in hanging on to past glory. But
one of them is a tapestry. I was trying to figure out where my school would rank in this, actually. I don't know how to explain it to you. I suppose if Ofsted inspected my school and then inspected it again 10 years later, some of the children would still be in the same year.
This is the latest from the school's watchdog, Ofsted, who haven't re-inspected hundreds of supposedly outstanding schools across the country, meaning that in actual fact they may no longer be outstanding at all, although most parents would prefer to get as little information about schools as possible, given that the adrenaline rush of gambling with their offspring's future represents one of the few pleasures they get from them. Some schools have fallen behind the times. For example, many of them are still teaching French, despite the fact that French will stop speaking to any of us in the very near future. They have a different system in public schools where inspection is largely a matter of working out which of the music teachers currently needs to be sent to prison. Outstanding is the highest rating awarded by Ofsted. From there it goes down the scale to mediocre, middling, coasting, poor, very poor, hellscape, Lord of the Flies and Bastard Factory. Two points to Hugo. Neil, which complex question requires a yes-no answer?
Ah, I think I know what this is about. I think it's about the abortion referendum taking place in Ireland today. I'm beginning to realise why you have an Irish person on the show. frankly, I was hoping there was going to be a 1990s-based Eurovision question, but that's fine. So if you don't know what it's about, it's the vote will repeal the Eighth Amendment to the Irish Constitution if it passes, and it'll liberalise abortion laws in Ireland if it's voted through. So I don't know if people in the UK can quite understand the concept of this very divisive referendum that will end up about 52% yes and 48% no. And a lot of people talk about taking back control. So there was concern that there's overseas money as well as trying to buy ads and trying to influence the reaction and the result of this. Yeah. To me, the idea of American interference in our democratic processes is absolutely offensive to the very core. This is the modern world, right? The only people who should influence the result of an Irish referendum held in Ireland that will affect Irish people are the Russians. This is what we've come to expect. There should be a man in Vladivostok as we speak going, I own a small B&B in Liverpool. Vote no.
A lot of my family are very devout Catholics. I'm a lapsed Catholic. I lapsed when I was about 16 when I found out you could get wine other places than church. the bartenders didn't bang on about sin quite as much. So it's one of those things, I don't really discuss it with my Irish relatives, if I'm completely honest. It's on the list of things, along with homosexuality and, you know, the career of Daniel O'Donnell that we just gloss over.
This is the Irish referendum on abortion rights. Now, I'm not going to tell women what to do with their bodies because I am neither a woman nor the Pope, although if I'm invited to the right party, I am more than happy to come dressed as either. The Irish have more than once held multiple referendums on the same question, the attitude seeming to be, if you don't like the result, just have another one a year or two later, much like their attitude to children. The phrasing in the amendment refers to the right to life of the unborn, which is careless, since the unborn could be anyone who hasn't been born. Sherlock Holmes would therefore have a right to life, along with Jacob Rees-Mogg, who was, of course, not born, but discovered beneath the boughs of a willow tree, hatching fully formed from a tweed egg. 2 points to Neil. And at the end of round one, the scores are Lucy and Neil have 4, and so too do Vicky and Hugo. We start round two with an advert from the Go Outdoors catalogue.
Bivy alarm system, now only £100. Protect your tackle with a Bivy alarm system. Easy to set up. Locate the transmitter at strategic locations around your peg.
Our thanks to Graham Sparrow for sending us that. Lucy, who's losing marks?
Marks and Spencer. Marks and Spencer, for the second year they've recorded falling profits. They're closing 100 shops over the next 4 years, and they're being relegated from the FTSE 100 index. Relegated. I know, apparently they've got to have a playoff with Next and EasyJet. The loser has to spend next season in league with Londis and Shoe Zone. Relegated from the FTSE 100 index. And because obviously the big tragedy here is all the employees who, through no fault of their own, are going to lose their jobs. The second saddest thing about it is, where am I going to get my bras?
This is not just a bra. Is
it's not, them? Yeah.
You must explain, Hugo. The audience at home cannot see it.
It's a sports bra, Mark.
People like bras and pants and Percy Pigs, right? Those are your main things. And they keep trying to do different stuff and trying to appeal to the younger market. And there is no, M&S should not be trying to appeal to the younger market. The whole point is that you just get to an age where you lose all interest in your appearance, and Marks and Spencer's clothes, you know, and suddenly you're catered for by the M&S you've let yourself go slightly range. And you where I'm at, guys, because, you know, I never thought I'm wearing Marks and Spencer's jeans, and they're a treat for the bottom. They really are lovely. They got Rosie Huntington Whiteley, I think is her name, is this, and she was like the face of their bra. Well, if you can be the face of bras, I mean, she'd be like, guys, stop looking at my face. My breasts are down here. But it was, anyway, she was the face of their bras, which is clearly the wrong choice. It should be Judy Finnegan. Nat. And they're going more online, which is, you shouldn't do, because you can't buy. Bras is one thing. Bras and shoes, I'm not buying online. I need to have a sort of matronly woman with a tape measure hoiking my bits about. That's what I want when I buy a bra. I don't want to do it in the privacy of my own home. I want someone else to observe.
It would be weirder if you continue to do that in the M&S foodstuffs place, right?
They should offer a sort of Skype service for that bra measuring, couldn't they? Someone could sort of talk you through it. That woman you're talking about.
You're big around the back,
but you're
big around
out the side.
And then your husband comes in and sees the webcam on, and you're just in your bra, sort of flaunting around.
I thought you said
you were calling relatives. What the hell?
Because the granny pant, see, this is another thing that they've done wrong. So earlier in the year, there was the granny pant that we all love when we're of a certain age.
They're just comfortable, aren't they?
Oh! Absolutely, Miles. I'm delighted you think.
At what point did this become loose women?
She hinted.
Who's seen their granny's pants?
The waiting lists are very long in Ireland as well, so.
But they redesigned the granny pants, and there was a massive hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Which, funnily enough, is what I use.
I just thought thought of something. There's an awful moment where you're going to have, because it's the clothing stores, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You're going to have to tell people who sell the autograph range they're going to be signing on.
We used to live across the road from an M&S kind of supermarket. And the problem with them is they're just really, really expensive. It was our last house, the one in the catchment area. And the day we moved there, my wife went out to get some milk and spent, I think it was £63.
Clacton is one of the places that's going to lose their M&S. So yeah. A UKIP stronghold is going to lose a store originally founded by a Polish refugee. What goes around, comes around, lads.
But no, it is. It's a big... I'm very upset by it.
I am.
Yeah. I mean, the Americans lost Pearl Harbor. We've now lost Blue Harbor.
So if their profits fall, then will they won't be able to use kind of very, very famous celebrity brand ambassadors. Then they're going to have to pay people who are kind of out of work to do their... Like, Ken Livingstone will be in their Christmas ad, I'd imagine. Probably not the Hanukkah one, but...
This is Marks & Spencer's, who this week announced a decline in profits of 62%, as well as plans to close 100 high street stores by 2022. Marks & Spencer's say they're facing increasing competition, as if there are any other places where you can buy a pair of Easy Iron chinos and a microwavable quiche and still have change from £150. M&S are planning to move a third of their sales online, so now you don't have the inconvenience of going into town to buy a floral printed dress with an elasticated waist. You can have the monstrosity delivered straight to your door. Sad to see Mark struggling like this. They used to be able to cope with anything. Time was, you could take a suit back with no receipt 20 years later and they'd still give you your money back, even if it had a dead man in it. 2 points to Lucy. Neil, whose desire to stay in touch is simply a PR job?
Oh, this is businesses, isn't it? This is the new GDPR regulations, General Data Protection Regulations. They come into force today. And basically, they give you, consumers, more influence and more control over how companies collect and then use our personal data. And that's why firms have to specifically get permission before they make use of the customer's name or the email address. And that's why you've been getting all these emails. I got one of them, oddly enough, from a Trump hotel. Yes, which is a little bit weird. Probably the first time that he's actively tried to secure consent. The fines, I think, are £8.8 million for non-compliance. And this applies to any small business or any tradesmen or anything like that. So there are plumbers listening to this freaking out if that... Well, it's ready for... There are artisan cheesemakers... listening to this freaking out because companies have to send you today, Friday, they have to have sent you the email before today about the privacy policy. So no excuses, no delays today. I'm expecting the Southern Rail one on Monday or Tuesday.
I've had like so many GDPR emails, but I mean really, like, there was a point today where I was getting about one every 90 seconds. There were loads of them. They were just coming in saying things like, do you really want to leave? Is this goodbye? Are we breaking up? And I was thinking, this is starting to remind me of something. And then I realised it was like the track listing from an Adele album. the sort of most needy one was from the Labour Party, saying you need to resubscribe, and it's Jeremy's birthday, so don't spoil it. Yeah.
It's a little bit. I got one from a curtain company. It said, you know, don't let's send it like this. And I just emailed them straight back and said, oh, pull yourself together.
You can ask them to delete all the data that they have on you as well. They're under the, what is it called? The right to be forgotten.
Yes.
Or Terence Trent D'Arby. exception. You can ask them to delete everything.
So I had one from my agent.
Yeah, so did I.
Which was like, would you like us to keep in touch? And I was like, yeah, frankly, I'd like you to get in touch a bit more, if anything. Just relieved that she still had my contact details, frankly. But
this is the Friday deadline for enforcement of the EU's GDPR regulations for online data protection, leading to a flood of emails into our inboxes from companies anxious not to fall foul of the rules. It's a relief to know that if people truly want to get to me, they have to go back to the good old-fashioned methods, like lobbing a brick through my window or writing messages on the lounge wall in my neighbour's blood. Unwanted emails are called spam, named after the old-fashioned tinned meat product, probably because in both cases, only elderly people open them thinking, ooh, this looks good. A Of course, this sort of thing has always gone on back to the time when Moses came down from the mountain with three tablets, the third of which read, "If you wish to unsubscribe from these messages, chisel here." 2 points to Neil. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting they'd like to share?
This was sent in by Gillian Parr from Bangor, Northern Ireland, and it's from the Caravan Club website, and it's describing one of the Caravan Club sites. It says, "Strictly one dog only by arrangement with the owner. We charge £1.50 per night for a dog, which is then donated to Sussex Air Ambulance."
This is from Sophie Rundle's Dunkley, and it was on a Facebook group, "Come Hither to Hither Green," and it's about the St. George's MOT Centre. "It took our Fiesta to see Paul Drake this morning and left with a decent MOT pass. Hooray! I can't recommend Mr. Drake enough. Lovely guy. Happy to run over things with you."
This is from Elizabeth Lamb in Worcestershire, and it's from the BBC News app. It's a wildlife story, and it reads, "A Eurasian lynx has escaped from an animal park in Wales. Staff have said that the lynx should not be approached if spotted."
It's sent in by Rob Barrett from Cornwall, and it says, "Local police information, check your home is secure. Be aware that buglers may be operating in this area."
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Vicky and Hugo have 9, but this week's winners are Lucy and Neil with 11. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the BBC News website, spotted by Eric Wilson.
"A US judge has ruled that a transgender student has the right to use the bathroom corresponding to his gender identity. Former student Gavin Grimm sued Gloucester County School after it barred him from using the men's bathroom. Following the ruling, Mr. Grimm said he felt an incredible sense of relief."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Lucy Porter, Neil Delamere, Vicky Pepperdine and Hugo Ribkind. In the chair was Miles Jupp, and the news was read by me, Cathy Clugston. The chair script was written by Nick Doody, Clint Edwards and James Kettle, with additional material by Gemma Arrowsmith and Laura Major. The producer was Sam Michelle, and it was a BBC Studios production.